This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
It is a genuine pleasure to be with you today on Getting to Know Your Bible. Today we're going to be talking about God. I believe the greatest thought that any of us will ever have is the thought that there is a God in heaven. But what kind of a being is God? What does the Bible say about God? I hope that you'll stay tuned as we discuss that subject today. What kind of being is God? I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And I want you to know that we're delighted that you're watching today. Stay tuned as we discuss this very timely, challenging Bible subject. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course, and I emphasize the course is free. And in order that you might know more about the course and how you can receive it, we want to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Suppose that someone were to ask you to describe God. How would you describe God? What word comes to your mind when you think about God? Well, God is a God of love. We're told in the third chapter of John's Gospel, the perhaps one of the most used passages in all of the New Testament, in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." So God is a God of love. And I am so thankful that He loves us all. That God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And God loves you. In all probability, I'm speaking to someone right now, feels lonely, left out of life, left out of the crowd. You say, well, nobody cares anything about me. God cares about you, and I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you. Well, someone says, well, I see God as a God of vengeance. He's a God's always wanting to get even with mankind. Well, God is a God of love, but God can also have another side to Him. Romans chapter 11 and verse 2 speaks of the goodness and the severity of God. See, there is a good side to God. But on the other side, there is the severity of God. When we violate God's law, His will, disappoint Him, sin against Him, He can be a God of vengeance. Another says, well, I think of God as a God that's so merciful to mankind. Well, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 4, said that God is rich in mercy. He is a God of mercy, of course. Another says, well, I think of God's grace when I think about God. And I am so thankful for His grace, aren't you? Grace is His favor extended to man that we don't earn or deserve. And our salvation in Christ Jesus is by God's grace. And we respond to that grace through obedience to His will, by believing in His Son and by obeying the gospel and we complete our obedience when we are buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. He is a God of grace. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 calls him the God of all grace. Someone says, well, that's not the way I think of God. Well, when I think of God, I think of a God who is concerned. I think of a God who really cares what happens to me. And you know, you're exactly right about that. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. And there may be some woman that is watching right now, and she may be living alone, and she thinks, well, no one really cares about me anymore. My children never come by to see me anymore. My neighbors don't have anything to do with me. The friends that I used to have, they kind of drifted away after the death of my husband, and really nobody cares about me anymore. Now, that's not totally true, because you and I have a God in heaven who cares about mankind. God cares. There was a time that David was running away from King Saul because Saul was trying to take his life. You know, after David had killed Goliath, the giant, the people began to sing, Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his tens of thousands. And Saul began to eye David from that time forward. He was envious and jealous of David. And David is now hiding in a cave away from Saul. And in Psalms 142 and verse 4, David said, no man cared for my soul. You say, that's where I am, Brother Lambert. I don't believe there's a person that cares about me. You think about all of the people that are in nursing facilities throughout our country. Many of them never get a single visit. During the highest peak of COVID-19, there were people that were shut up away from family, friends, and they never saw anyone. I can tell you that's a horrible, horrible experience for one to go through, because they begin to think, you know, there's no one who cares about me now, but God cares. He is a God who cares. Oh, how He cares. How much does God care about us? Well, first of all, I want us to note that He cared enough to create an earth that could be inhabited by man. The opening sentence of your Bible reads thusly, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, everything we see around us today is not accidental. It's done with purpose and design. There's design in everything around us. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4 says, every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. Every watch presupposes a watchmaker. Every letter presupposes a writer. Every book presupposes an author. And all of the design there is around us presupposes a designer. God is the designer of everything that exists in our world. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1 reads, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. And God created this world for man to live upon the face of this earth. So that's how much God cared. And when God made the earth, He made it with precision. Precision. And when He put the sun in the heavens where it now resides, He did that with precision and design. Well, I suppose the earth were farther away from us. That is, the sun was farther away from that than it is. We'd freeze to death. Suppose it was closer. We would burn up. You see, God cared enough to create a world in which we could live. But He cared enough also to give us an instruction book. And that book is called the Bible. So suppose we did not have anything to go by. No rule book about how to live life. We just have to make our way and feel our way along, and Think about all of the mistakes and blunders that we would make. But God knew we needed instruction. And it was through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God gave us His Word, and we have it today in written form. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Then in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, there Paul wrote these words to this young preacher boy named Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Everything we need to know about life is found in the Bible. I've often said the Bible is the greatest book ever written. And it's the greatest book ever written because it is God's book. And the Bible tells us everything we need to know about ourselves. Well, you say, well, what do we need to know? Well, we need to know about our origin. Man did not come from swamp somewhere back eons ago. He did not come from some explosion or the so-called Big Bang that happened somewhere out in the universe many, many, many years ago. God is the one who is the giver of life. When Paul came into the city of Athens, he saw the people given over to idolatry. And they had erected an idol with this inscription, to the unknown God. There might have been a God they didn't know about. They didn't want to defend him, so they just erected this idol. And Paul said to them, him therefore whom you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. So when he was in Athens, this seat of idolatry and ignorance, Paul talked to them about the God of heaven. And one of the things he said about him is that in God we live, we move, and have our very being. God is the one who created the earth upon which to live. And God gave us the Bible so that we could know everything we need to know about ourselves. It tells me that about my origin, that I did not come from some lower form of life. No, God, that first man was created from the dust of the earth. And we're told in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You saw the one thing that is different in man and animals is that man has a soul that will live throughout all eternity. Man is a dual being. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, fear not him who is able to destroy the body, but hath no power over the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and the body in hell. So you have a soul, you have a body. I've often said that we have a body, and the body is the house in which we live. That is the tabernacle, the tent, the dwelling place for the soul of man. And it'd be a serious thing to think about man having a soul. But you see, the Bible is God's book, and it's a wonderful book because it tells us about that soul. But the Bible is God's book, and it tells us what we need to know. It tells us the reason we're in this world. We're not here to frolic all the time. We're not here to please ourselves. We're here to please God. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, Solomon said, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If that were more literally translated, it might read like this. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. This is the entirety of man. That man's purpose is to fear and respect God and to do his bidding. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, there Paul said that whether we eat or whether we drink, do all to the glory of God. Everything I do in my life, it should be for this one reason, this one purpose, to glorify God, to bring honor and glory to Him. And that's one thing the Bible helps us to understand. And then the Bible, God's book, tells us where we're headed after this life is over. And we're not headed into some place of nothingness. There is life after death. Job asked in Job 14 and verse 14, if a man dies, will he live again? And the answer to that is, of course, yes, man will live again. And there are only two destinies for man. That's why Jesus, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, in verse 13 and verse 14, said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. So the Bible tells us that there are two ways before us, two destinies. And I have the power to choose one of those two. I can either choose the road that leads me to everlasting ruin, or I can choose the life that leads me to the everlasting hills of God. I choose the everlasting hills of God to go to heaven one day. So the Bible is a great book. God cared enough that He was willing to give us the Bible. And without the Bible, we would be in darkness. In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, there the prophet said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. A world without the Bible is a world in darkness. And an individual who refuses or neglects to govern his or her life by the Word of God is in darkness. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter and verse 29, Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. The Bible is a wonderful book, God's book. How much does God care about us? We're talking about the kind of being that we serve. What kind of a God do we have? He's a loving, kind, merciful God indeed. But He's a God who is concerned about mankind. And He cared enough that He was willing to send His Son Jesus into this world. He did not say, I think what I will do is send one of the angels into the world. When it came time for Jesus, for God to send someone into this world to become a perfect atonement for the sins of all humanity, He selected His Son Jesus. In John the 4th chapter and verse 34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. His whole purpose of being was to do what God wanted Him to do. In John the 6th chapter and verse 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Jesus Christ was sent into this world, and Jesus was sent into this world for a specific reason. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Jesus was rich in that He was on an equality with God in heaven. He had access to all of the glories of heaven, but He divested Himself of all of that. He emptied Himself in the form of man, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and following. And Jesus went to the cross of Calvary to save a lost, ruined world. That's how much God cared about man. He cared so much about him, He was willing to send the royal gem of heaven to come down to this earth and to live a life of poverty and rejection, in order that He might save a lost world. How thankful we ought to be. Jesus is the Savior of man. In 1 John the 4th chapter and verse 14, He was sent to be the Savior of the world. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Sent to be the Savior. in 1 Timothy 1:15, where Paul is recounting his past before he became a follower of Christ. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief." It's kind of like Paul saying, now if you were to line up all the sinners in the world, and they might make several lines, a line going all the way around the world, no telling how many times, and you would find the worst of the sinners in the world and put them up at the head of the line, I'd be number one. I'm the chief sinner. But Paul said that he came in this world to save me. And in the 13th verse of that same chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief." Paul obtained mercy even though he was a great sinner. He called himself the chief of sinners. You think about the worst person you've ever known or the worst person of whom you've ever heard. Jesus Christ came to save that person. We have a tendency sometimes to write that person off. We say they're not worthy of salvation. They're not worthy of Christ. They're not worthy of the gospel of Christ. They're not worthy of heaven. That's not our call, people. We're not to be judgmental of what people need or don't need. All men everywhere need Jesus Christ. I'm talking to you right now because I believe that all men everywhere need to know about Jesus. When I was a freshman in college, back many years ago, I went with two seasoned missionaries to Oklahoma City, to Oklahoma Christian College. And they were having a world mission forum or workshop at Oklahoma Christian. There were missionaries from all over the world speaking there. And I well remember what some of those missionaries said. One in particular who said that all men everywhere have the right to hear the gospel at least once in their lifetime. I believe that. I believe that people all over this world, whether they live in China, whether they live in Ukraine, whether they live in London, England, whether they live in Russia, whether they live in South America, North America, Canada, whatever, wherever they might live, I believe that all people everywhere have a right to hear the gospel, because the gospel is God's power to save the world. It's God's dynamite, as it were, to save lost humanity. And when you are exposed to the gospel, you're never the same, because the gospel of Christ explains who Jesus was and who Jesus died to save when he died on the cross of Calvary. And you're never going to be the same once you're exposed to the gospel. I believe you have a right to hear the gospel. And God sent his Son into the world for the purpose of saving lost man. I wonder, have you ever thought about that lately? Have you ever thought about your spiritual life? Do you think about it? Many years ago, I would give a premarital inventory before I would marry a young couple. There were 9 parts to the inventory. I would explain it's not a test. You cannot fail this. It just shows whether or not you're very compatible one with the other. Well, in all the years I gave that, there was one couple that came to me, took the inventory, and going back and giving looking at what the answers do they gave to all of the different parts of that, the 9 parts to that inventory, I learned that they're the only ones to whom I ever gave that inventory had given any thought whatsoever to their spiritual life. Have you thought about your spiritual life? Have you thought lately about your relationship with God? You see, God sent Jesus because he cared so much about you and loved you so much. He sent Jesus in this world to save you. He cared enough to allow his Son to die. Why, Jesus could call upon the legions of angels to deliver him from the cross of Calvary, from the mob that came to take him out to Golgotha. He could have been delivered by angelic power or help, but he refused, because Jesus went to the cross voluntarily to die vicariously, that is, in your stead, because he loved you. Oh, my friend, God is a wonderful God, a powerful God. He is a God who cares for you. There's a song, Does Jesus Care? And the answer to that, yes, Jesus cares. God cares. Now, I wonder how much we really care. Do you remember the statement I read from the 142nd Psalm, verse 4, where David said, no man cared for my soul? Let me answer that question or that statement. God cares for your soul. Jesus cares for your soul. The Holy Spirit cares for your soul. The church cares for your soul. Preachers care for your soul. That is, if they are faithful gospel preachers and they preach the truth of God's word, if they're more concerned about souls than they are shekels, they care about your soul. And you need to know that even heaven is concerned about your soul and cares about it. While we're told there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than 99 people that need no repentance. But Satan also cares about your soul, and he wants your soul, and he wants you to be lost with him for eternity. But do you care? Do you care enough that you'd believe on Jesus, repent of all your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized into Christ, and then live a faithful, dedicated life as a servant of God and as a member of his body or the Lord's church? Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. I want to thank you for watching, getting to know your Bible today. And we want to right now invite you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. You say, well, I'm not certain, Brother Lamb, where it might be located. Well, why don't you contact us? We'll get that information for you. And right now, please, please pick up the telephone. Call for the free Bible correspondence course. Do that without delay. Pick it up right now and call us right now. And you can take the course online, incidentally, if you prefer not to have it in a written way. So however you take it, let me urge you to call and get it the information you need for getting the Bible course for yourself. I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.